I don't think there's anyone more uniquely qualified to comment on a very important Texan for this coming season than Cecil. We'll also weigh in on a couple of other things, Houston Texans. It's going to be a very football-heavy show today, but I want to begin with this. Cecil, tomorrow is the first day for NFL teams to designate franchise or transition players. Mm-hmm. And I think that the Texans are going to give Jadeveon Clowney the franchise tag once they're able to, starting tomorrow.
Right.
I don't know when it's going to happen. Could take place over the next couple of weeks, but they don't want to let him get to free agency. Most people are projecting that he is going to make the most money of all free agents this offseason. I think over the cap. There's another website as well. And I don't know what's going to happen next. Now, you're not that far removed from being a Houston Texan, and mm-hmm. I know that you are still connected with some of the guys in the locker room, and I'm curious as to the vibe that you're getting out of what happens next and how maybe certain people would feel about a franchise tag for Jadeveon Clowney.
Well, you're right. I'm cool with a lot of people in the locker room. My family, my wife is like the ultimate friend. So she like friends all the wives and girlfriends.
Perfect.
She's just that that person. So I still hang out and go to birthday parties. For example, this past weekend, Kareem Jackson's wife came to my son and daughter's birthday party this past weekend.
Oh, fun.
On Saturday. So, but anyways, you know, just from what I'm hearing, what's going on, Clowney would not be happy with the franchise tag.
Interesting.
Not happy at all. He is looking for a long-term deal. And I think anybody in that position doesn't want to get a franchise tag, unless you're probably Kirk Cousins. When you're getting 25,
right.
25 a year.
And you're a quarterback. You're protected.
I mean, the whole nine. But I think in his situation, just looking at what he's been through with his knees.
Four surgeries.
And then the surgeries he had, the microfracture, that's not something that you can come back from. I guess a lot of people don't come back from very often. So for him, just looking for some security, looking for some stability, it's going to be tough. And from what I'm hearing, he is not going to be excited about this franchise tag.
Yikes. Well, if he's not going to be happy about the franchise tag, I wonder how everything plays out after this. Now, I'll speak from my own perspective on it, from people that I talk to that are probably way more connected to the Texans. I'm hearing that that is not going to happen, a long-term deal here. And I think Peter King wrote this morning, and this is basically what I've been hearing from everyone that I have talked to about what's next with Jadeveon Clowney. And I've always been confused by this because I look at Clowney, I know what a great player he is. You know what a great player he is.
Yep.
He's so strong, powerful, a disruptor. But as far as being the dominant first overall pick that I think people expected out of him because he was the first overall pick, he hasn't quite been that. Peter King, in his piece for NBC Sports, wrote, "I'm skeptical of the Texans reaching a long-term deal with him because he's not the worker bee some others on that defense are. But that could change. Clowney is very productive, and if he stays that way, making $1 million a game on the tag in 2019, Houston could change its tune." So the way Peter's framing it is that, okay, well, maybe the Texans can be convinced otherwise that Clowney can actually get this done. But how do you think the rest of the locker room feels, Cecil, about Jadeveon Clowney? Because I focus on that. That he's not the worker bee.
Right.
And I wonder where that's coming from. I always used to think that was a misnomer about Clowney that was pushed really by Steve Spurrier at South Carolina, who was frustrated that Clowney wasn't out there, that he was injured, that he wasn't ready to go for the Gamecocks back in college. And like once Clowney had that hit on that guy, that poor sap on Michigan, I mean, the guy was going to be the first overall pick. It was just a matter of time. So I always thought that Steve Spurrier kind of put him in a bad light on that front. But this is something I have continuously heard about Clowney. Was that a vibe that you got when you were playing with him? I imagine these players in the locker room really like him.
The players, we loved him. I think he's a fun guy to be around. He works hard. He understands his job, his position. Now, to be fair, I think people get caught in the comparison trap. So you look at J.J. Watt, who's on the other side, who at that point in time when he got drafted was probably one of the best players in the NFL. And if you look how hard he works harder than anybody I've ever seen in football, if that makes sense. So he's working out two, three times a day. He's there, first guy there, last guy to leave. He's having athletic trainers, right, the over and overachiever. Having athletic trainers come home with him and work on his bruises and stuff like that. And then you got Clowney, who's very fresh, young, and just so gifted. Like this God gifted, he doesn't have to work that hard as a J.J. Watt. So for a coaching staff to see that, I think it brings some jealousy. I think it brings some, like, why aren't you working as hard as him? Or they see the potential in him.
So they're frustrated.
They're frustrated.
Like, he's like the gifted son, but yes. he goes to an Ivy League school, but he's doing cocaine benders on the weekend. Not to say that Clowney's doing that, but you get what I'm saying, right?
But yes, he is so talented. Like, this physically talented, he's more talented than JJ. But as far as, you know, the production-wise and getting sacks and tackle, everything else, you know, JJ is one of the best ever to do it. No doubt about it. But just on a gifted thing, he's just more gifted than 90% of the people in his position. So I think the coaches get frustrated with that, and they want to see him work the way they want him to work. And honestly, to be fair, Clowney has gotten a lot better because he was immature very, very early on.
Okay.
Very, very immature.
Interesting.
And, I mean, when I mean immature, I mean
you're there with him his second season in the league.
Yes. I mean, coming to – if he was hurt, he'll come to the training room late. And that's the biggest thing. When you are hurt, get to the training room on time, take care of your business. That shows that you're a pro. He just wasn't doing it. He's arguing with the trainers. He's arguing with the coaches. He's doing stuff that kids, that 20, 21-year-old kids do. That kind of been, you know, like, I guess he's been spoiled or kind of taken care of his whole life. But to be fair – even through that year and a little bit I was there in 2016, he has matured and learned from that. So I can only imagine what he's doing now, but I did see a lot of frustration from the coaches.
Interesting. So that's Cecil Shorts. Cecil Shorts played wide receiver for the Houston Texans back in 2015 during the 2016 offseason as well. Also played for the Jaguars and the Bucks. I'm Paul Gallant. Seth Payne, Mike Meltzer taking President's Day off. You mentioned the production numbers for Clowney, and I know Seth brings this up often, and Seth played on the defensive line, of course, for the Houston Texans. Like, it's not really about the numbers as much with Clowney. You look at what he can bring to the table, and you know, as a run disruptor and as a guy who can get pressures, like, he's very, very good. And I understand why coaches might be frustrated with Clowney, but Clowney doesn't strike me as someone who is, I guess, submarining the culture of the Texans or anything like that. I mean, he's going out there. He's playing well.
Absolutely.
Maybe he's not giving you as much as you wanted down the stretch. And that's one of the things I'm a little nervous about, because if I were the Texans, I don't think I would give him the long-term contract. Because I feel with the four surgeries and with the lack of a pass rush at the end of the season from Watt and Clowney, you could blame the defensive backs for part of that. And I think they were a big part of it. But I just wonder about making him the highest paid player in football. But at the same time, I don't want him gone, and I also don't want him unhappy.
Right.
And if you give him that franchise tag, I'm curious as to what, Cecil, the next step would be for Clowney. I'm guessing a holdout during training camp, but do you think it's possible that maybe he'd go the Le'Veon Bell route? It's been a while since we've seen a guy sit out an entire season, and Le'Veon Bell sat out an entire season, and he's going to be elsewhere this coming year.
I wouldn't. Put it this way, if I were him, I would look at all my options, every single one of my options. And it's because of, I think mainly for me, is his knees. From what I'm hearing from people that have the same knee injury, if you look at Greg Oden, who had a micro fracture in his knee, he never was the same guy. He was one of the biggest NBA busts that ever do it. So to me, the way Clowney is able to come back from that, but you still don't know. If I'm him, you don't know how long you will last. And that's any position, any guy in the NFL. You can be gone tomorrow based on an injury. You never know. So you want the stability as much as you can. So you want to try to get as much money as possible. Oh,
definitely, yeah. I mean, I totally understand it from his standpoint. And
yes.
He probably realizes that even though things have not gone according to plan, where you're the number one overall pick and you are taking the NFL over, at the same time, he realizes his value. And there is some team out there that's
going
to give him
somebody.
Right. There's always somebody. And we've seen teams like the Dolphins in the past who have been way too aggressive in free agency, bring in guys, hasn't worked out. Washington used to do this all the time as well. Like, somebody would probably give him that big time contract. And this is, I think, the predicament the Texans find themselves in, is that they realize if they lose him, they are losing out. They are not replacing that player. Like, you could trade him or something like that. The odds of you finding somebody that's going to give you the same kind of impact in return on a trade are very low, unless you end up trading him, like, straight up for a tackle or something like that. Someone on the offensive line, which is a unit that does not have a whole lot going on for it. But, man, if I'm curious to know whether or not he would go the Bell route, because that is, I imagine, Cecil, a really tough decision to make if you're a player. Like, do you have enough money saved up for the entirety of a season?
Yeah.
I'm guessing, you know, like, when you're making as much money as you guys make,
you might be all right.
You're probably okay. But at the same time, you probably think to yourself, if I actually go out there and play and do all that I know I can, and I'm on a team that has all this talent around it, couldn't I earn a big-time contract by playing this year out?
You could.
Or do you think that it's in what would you do if you're in his shoes? What would you do here?
If I'm in his shoes, I'm definitely thinking about sitting out. I wouldn't sit out for the year just because I love the game too much, and I wouldn't want to put my family in any type of situation. I mean, if I'm in Clowney's shoes, I'm number one overall pick. What's that, $25 million guarantees? I'm pretty sure he's fine. No matter what, right? But you know, I definitely think about sitting out. I understand somebody's going to pay me. Somebody's going to pay me. I'm a $100 million man, regardless of where you think I should be. My guess, he's not going to get the Khalil Mack, the Aaron Donald type money, but he'll be somewhere below that in the top five of the defensive ends, I guess, linebacker, whatever position.
Yeah, that's the tricky thing. It's like whether is he an outside linebacker, right, or is he a defensive lineman?
So for me, if I know I'm a $100 million man and you don't want to give me that, I might request a trade. I might just say, listen, I want to be here, but you obviously don't want me here. There's obviously some friction here, and I don't want to be nowhere that you don't want me to be. So just trade me and find the best suitor for me.
And that's what's confusing to me. He's Cecil Shorts, a former Texans wide receiver. I'm Paul Gallant. We're talking about Jadeveon Clowney. The Texans can franchise tag him tomorrow. I think the Texans are going to franchise tag him tomorrow, but it's a matter or they can franchise tag him tomorrow, starting tomorrow. I think they will franchise tag him.
Yeah,
I don't think they're going to give him a long-term deal. And Cecil's very curious to see what happens going forward, but from what he's hearing, it sounds like Jadeveon Clowney is seriously weighing all of his options, which could mean he actually would sit out for an entire season, which would be really something else and would be very messy. And I wonder how a Texans locker room would handle it. I mean, if you were on the same team as him, Cecil, and you realize he's under contract and you realize that this is a guy who's got, you know, a contract that he's trying to work out. And I know in the past you've weighed in on DeAndre Hopkins' contract. And you're like, hey, look, I'm going to support my teammate. In this situation, it's awkward, right? Because you're on one hand, you understand what the guy is looking for. But on the other, I want this guy out there playing for me.
Yeah, I mean, just looking on a teammate perspective, I think, number one, I have to support him. You know what I mean? Because if I was in his shoes, I wouldn't want somebody supporting me. And at the end of the day, it's a business. So the team's going to do what's best for the team, not necessarily what's best for that individual. So with that in my head, I'm going to support him. I'm going to text him. I'm going to call him like, hey, I got your back. Don't worry about it. In the media, I'll make sure I'm saying this, and that. And do what's best for you. I understand. But at the same time, you want him here because he's so good. Like you said, he can do everything. And he's only, what, 25, 26 years old?
So young, right.
So he's in his prime.
Yep.
And I think this would be big for the Texans if they let him go. Because I think the window for the Texans defense, if I had Mad Radio or it might be Mad Radio. It's coming down. It's Kareem was talking about it, right? It's shortening. So they have to be, if I figure out a way to try to get this Super Bowl run in while they got the talent that they have now, because it's a shortened window.